We've all been there, right?
Yeah.
You're signing some contract online. Maybe it's for like a new phone or, you know, for a job or something.
Yep.
And you just kind of like skim through all the legal jargon. But those tiny details can really have a huge impact down the road, especially the ones about like how disagreements get handled.
Exactly.
So today we're going to do a deep dive into dispute resolution clauses.
All right.
These are the parts of a contract that basically spell out how to settle disagreements.
Right. You know, like what if things go wrong?
Yeah. What if things go south?
Exactly.
How do we deal with this?
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some really interesting excerpts from legal texts that reveal some common pitfalls in these clauses. And you're going to want to hear about these.
Yeah. These are things that you really need to look out for, I think.
Okay.
When you're signing these agreements.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
The first flaw we're tackling is something called buried unrealistic or ambiguous filing requirements.
Right.
Now, most of us aren't lawyers. So can you maybe break down like why this is such a big deal?
So imagine this. You have a legitimate dispute, you know, you're ready to trigger that resolution process.
Right.
But the clause says that you have to submit written documentation to a service delivery engineer within 15 days.
Okay.
Sounds simple.
Yeah. Straightforward.
But what if you can't figure out what documentation even means or who this engineer is, you know? Suddenly those instructions aren't very clear.
Yeah. So it's not even just about missing a deadline.
Right.
It's just like the whole process.
It becomes a nightmare.
Becomes impossible.
Yeah, exactly. And actually the source material gives this perfect example.
Okay.
It's called Who's On First?
Huh.
Which I think is a pretty fitting title.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Okay. So picture this. You're in a dispute.
Right.
The contract says before you can even think about arbitration, you have to submit this mysterious written documentation to, and I quote, a project manager or service delivery engineer. And you have to do all this within 15 calendar days of whatever the issue was.
Oh, wow.
Then let's say you manage to figure that out.
Uh-huh.
If things still aren't settled, you then have to submit documentation to a division vice president or CEO within 25 days.
Okay. So even I'm getting confused here.
Yeah.
Is this deliberate? Like, are they trying to make it so you can't even start the process?
That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it is intentional. It's a way to discourage people from coming forward with legitimate claims.
Uh-huh.
But other times it's just sloppy drafting. Either way, you're left trying to figure out what to do, who to contact.
Right.
And the clock is ticking.
Well, the clock is ticking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the solution then? How do you protect yourself from this kind of mess?
Well, the source material has a practice tip here.
Okay.
It says to push for realistic deadlines and to give the arbitrator some flexibility to extend them if needed.
That makes sense. I mean, why get hung up on like a technicality when there's like a real issue that needs to be addressed?
Yeah. Focus on the substance of the dispute.
Right.
Rather than getting bogged down in these procedural roadblocks.
Right. This is something that like everyone needs to be aware of.
I think so.
Right. I mean, we've all signed contracts with that tiny print that we barely glance at. This deep dive is showing us how important it is to pay attention to those details.
For sure. Especially when it comes to dispute resolution.
Yeah.
You know, don't be afraid to ask questions, push for clarity.
Mm-hmm.
And if something seems off, get legal advice.
All right. So we've talked about how these ambiguous filing requirements can just totally derail this whole dispute resolution process.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another common pitfall
right.
that these clauses can hide.
Uh-huh.
And that's limitations on what remedies you can actually seek.
Right. So let's say you're in a dispute over a faulty product. You want a full refund.
Right.
But the clause says that you can only get a replacement.
Hmm.
That might not be ideal, especially if you've lost trust in the product completely.
Right. Yeah. So even if you manage to like navigate that whole filing process,
right,
you might be limited in what you can actually get.
It's like winning a battle, but losing the war.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So what's the takeaway here for our listeners? What should they be looking out for?
I think the big thing is to pay attention to the types of remedies that are allowed.
Okay.
Can you claim damages?
Mm-hmm.
Are there caps on the amount you can recover?
Right.
Are there specific remedies that are just completely excluded?
Well, yeah. This has been eye-opening, to say the least.
It has.
We started out talking about how dispute resolution clauses can seem pretty straightforward on the surface,
mm-hmm.
but we've uncovered a lot of hidden complexities.
Definitely. It's a reminder that these clauses can be really powerful tools,
right.
but they can also be double-edged swords. Yeah. You really have to be informed and proactive.
Absolutely. And that brings us to our final thought for today. This deep dive was just a glimpse into the world of dispute resolution clauses.
Mm-hmm.
What other hidden traps might be lurking in your contracts? It might be time to dust off those agreements.
Yeah.
Take a closer look. You never know what you might find.
That's right.